Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to the UAW Factory Whistle Show for October 11th. Well, we're heading into winter time.
Don't even say it, because I just watched the news a little bit ago, and they said flurries are possible Saturday and Sunday.
It's going to what?
Flurries.
Flurries.
Snow flurries are possible Saturday and Sunday.
I got my.
I heard that too.
Got my leather, my fur bearing G string ready to put on when it does snow. Let me get Adrian, you're on with us also. We got Jimmy.
Now that was funny.
I thought he upgraded that electric G string.
Oh no.
we went from balls to G strings.
Whoa. Yes, last night Adrian was talking about all the balls she has. And that took us to about 1:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Well,
we had to unpack that. Well, we got to the bottom of it. Oh.
What? I posted this in a couple different places, but I'm gonna say it anyway. It says, we are in the fourth quarter of 2020 now. Man, I hope we're playing the Lions.
I love that. I saw that. I loved it.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
They set a record last week. They're the only team in the NFL to lose six consecutive games where they've had a double-digit lead. Like, wow, what a record to have.
Yeah. At least they got a record. Come on.
Yeah.
They did win in 1955 was the last time they won a championship, and that was before the Super Bowl, of course. But they did
when,
win a
when?
Championship.
No. They won a right. But they did make it through to the second round, third round of playoffs, remember?
Under
still
Fonz.
The streak.
But that is
under Fonz.
Football. That's
correct.
Not a championship, Scott. Chill out. I said championship.
Right.
1955.
You're right.
65
yep.
years ago, they won the whole shooting match, but it wasn't the Super Bowl. And they haven't won since. Under Wayne Fonz, they did. They got slaughtered by Philadelphia, 55-30 something, with Mitchell as quarterback. I remember that heartbreaking game.
Yeah,
well, they first
it
that year. Hey Don.
Yeah.
The quarterback Bobby Lehman, he cursed them because they wouldn't give him a contract or something.
Yeah, there you go. He got drunk and. You know, and they went and signed him to what he wanted. So he was gone, and that was it. He put a hex on them, and they've been hexed ever since.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Well, hexing.
No.
Teaming up to build fuel cells for electric trucks for the North America market. And Toyota's working, I believe, with Panasonic to do this, too.
I read that
so,
good article.
So as things go forward, there was a lot of announcements this week with the around electric vehicles, electric trucks. The GMC Hummer EV has been dubbed the world's first electric super truck in a teaser video. I don't know what it's that Rivian has some massive pulling capabilities, but none like the Cybertruck from Elon Musk. That's got a real gnarly amount that it can pull. I do not remember exactly what it was. But they're going to do the Corvette C8, the Grand Sport. Isn't it happening now? they're going to make an electric. We knew about this for a while because somebody spoke to me. But they're going to make an electric, what they're going to call the E-Ray. And it's going to take the place of the Grand Sport on the Corvette lineup. So you're going to have an electric Corvette.
Interesting.
There is very little information as far as what its capabilities will do. And the production date has not yet been announced. They said that it's going to be a mid-mounted lithium battery pack. It's going to have the same wide body as the upcoming Z06 Corvette. They're, like I said, they're not giving you any of the information as far as performance package goes. And of course, you know that all the GM trucks and SUV plants are all running three shifts maximum overtime. So they did have Roadshow put on an article this week. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know about this. This sounds insane. They said the 2021 Chevy Silverado HD will tow 36,000 pounds. You there? Did I lose you?
No.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, 36,000 pounds. That's 18 tons. That's crazy. They said they checked that with, I guess this article, the people who did this, they did their own testing, and it puts it up real close to what other vehicles are doing. They said they had the 3500 HD work truck with a regular cab, dual rear wheels, and two-wheel drive, and equipped it with a 6.6-liter diesel and a 10-speed Allison transmission and a max tow package. And it pulled. I guess it pulled. It's a bad boy, but you better be sitting down when the salesman tells you the price, too. Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
If you... it's like, you know, any of these heavy-duty trucks. I don't care if it's a Chrysler or a Ford or a Chevy. If you need a, if you're in the market and you need one of these other trucks, work truck, and if you need it, well, you'll spend that money for it and you'll have it for a while. Better hope you get it. Just saying. Whew. And Amazon is... arrive in, and they've got their delivery vans out. And I see.
You're breaking up.
I'm going to go up and down.
We got half of that sentence. I don't know what you said.
Amazon rolled out their vans, the Rivian vans. That are plated for Amazon for their cargo van, put them out. And I'm telling you what, it was just this last summer, General Motors could have been part of that, and they balked at that, remember?
Oh, yeah. They don't want to gain any market share anywhere.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Doesn't make sense. The Corvette plant's going to be down for a week. They're having supplier issues. A few people are having supplier issues from what I'm hearing, not just General Motors. So.
Got a lot of people in the space for it, Scott. Let me tell them to push one on your keypad. I'll get you on. I think this might be Paul.
Greetings, you rabble rousers.
Hello.
Hey, Paul. I think what they're doing makes a lot of sense. If you understand that General Motors' biggest goal is just to shed people, They don't care whether they lose market share as long as they get rid of people. They hate working people. You know, when I was one of the ones who transferred down to Pontiac, you know, when they wanted to get rid of the people at the truck plant, said it was going to close and sent us all down to Pontiac. They had a huge complex there. It had, I think it was about 14,000 employees at the time. They made heavy-duty trucks, transit buses. And they made S10 Blazers, S10 pickups, full-size pickups. And they basically closed the whole complex and destroyed it. I remember they needed to produce more pickups. This was around 1990, but they did not want to add employees to pick up their production. They were waiting till they closed Plant 5, where the S10 Blazers and pickups were made, S10 Blazers and S10 pickups were made, so that they could move those people over to Plant 6. They were willing to lose market share because they didn't want to hire any people. And that's what a disgusting company General Motors is. And it just galls me that we have a union that's cooperated with them while it's just been a wholesale slaughter of people. You know, they're an asinine company.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was just saying. They don't care nothing about market share anymore.
They don't want to go for new business. They're just a ridiculous company. That's why Toyota, Honda, and Nissan have had them for lunch, because those companies care about market share. They know when you gain the market share, you're going to make money.
That's right, Paul.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why Mary Barra has been able to get along with this. Maybe our mostly male international union leaders find her so charming they can't resist her. I don't know what it is, but it's absolutely insane that they go along with Jim's master plan. What they've done with the complex down in Ohio is just a real bitch slap to our union.
Well, funny you should say that, because General Motors just made a deal with, well, I shouldn't say General Motors, Lordstown Motors is working on a deal with the U.S. Postal Service to help supply their next fleet.
Uh-huh.
Worth a lot of money.
What are those people are going to be paid down there per hour?
Probably, I would say, between $9 and $15 an hour.
Working with the UAW, General Motors has managed to turn the auto industry, particularly the parts industry, into a low-wage industry.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no equality.
Yeah.
No pay equality. There's no justice.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Cindy Estrada talking about pay inequality. You know, it's like you wrote an op-ed for the Detroit paper on us, and yet you turn around and you bring in tier systems into our plant, and you have the gall to write about this?
Yeah.
You condone it. You promote it.
They do. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. They talk about discrimination against, you know, gays, transgenders, you know, you name it, and that women, equal pay for women, but they don't do anything about the things that are in their control.
Right.
They've created that tier system. That is a system of inequality.
And now we know why. I mean, all of us are smart enough to see that all these people that are going to prison have been negotiating terrible contracts on purpose against us, so that they can better themselves. We can see that.
Yeah.
You know, it may not be out there. I mean, it isn't. You don't have to be, have a PhD to figure out why we've been having the bad contracts we have with all these guys going to prison, right?
Yeah, they've just been preoccupied, that's all. You know, they never get into a plant. I wish we could take our international reps and chain them to the worst job in the truck plant, the fastest press at the metal center, and make them work on the engine line and see what it's like to be 55 or 60 years old and not be able to get off the line to piss for 3 hours. See
yep.
how they like it with their bloated prostates.
Yep. Yep. You know, to quote Jimmy, to quote the late Richard Danjen, in a conversation to Stephen P. Okich, what a glorious union we'd have if it wasn't for the effing membership.
That's what Jokic said?
Yeah. That's what Danjen told Jokic, and Jokic told him to get the hell out of his office.
Yeah.
Isn't that how that story went, Jimmy?
Yeah, I do.
Huh?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, told Jokic straight up with the appointed system and the corruption and the way the membership was going, we were damning ourselves.
It's hard telling where we're going to stop. You know, nobody's addressing this.
Everybody wants to, when you run, you want to have a record. Well, they got a hell of a record going, don't they, Danny?
Oh, yeah.
They're all getting federal records, too.
Started with concessions. Now they've hit, like you said, they've hit this thing. I wanted the grand slam, but I guess their goals are felonies, and, man, they're swinging for the fence.
It's sad.
Well,
I think
most of us have found is that our union leadership, whether it's local or international, don't believe they have to be accountable to anybody or anything. And I really think that some of the crap they pulled at the international, they really didn't think they were breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
No, because if you're the king, you get to do what you want. If you want the union to build you a palace up at Black Lake or whatever, as long as you get people in your circle to go along with it, it's okay.
I can't agree with you totally on that because Gary Jones had to know he was wrong.
Well, probably
because he's a CPA.
He was trained as an accountant.
He that's correct. So he had to know.
Oh yeah.
What he was doing was wrong.
But I think a lot of them didn't. I mean, they just figured.
Yeah, a lot of the other ones didn't.
They're in the leadership and they can do what they want.
Well, no. Dennis Williams said he knew there was wrong going on. He just looked the other way.
Bob King did that. Said that about Holyfield. He told him to stop it.
Yep.
Well,
it didn't happen though.
I was in an election a few years ago, and a retired international rep told me that Bob King knew that crap was going on and told them to stop doing it. But didn't happen.
Mm-mm. But he didn't do anything to make them stop either, and he had the power to do that.
Well, when you're in leadership, you want to kind of throw a few perks to your cronies so they'll go along with your game plan. What's held this whole thing together is there is pretty much no integrity within the union at all. They were all looking the other way. I mean, don't tell me that, you know, what is there, like 15 people have been indicted? Don't tell me that
What I'm trying to say to you, he couldn't have looked the other way if he told you to stop. He saw it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, therefore, he wasn't looking the other way.
Yeah.
He told you to stop it, but you didn't.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, it wasn't just 15 people that There are, what has it been, about 15 people been indicted, and they're they were the only ones that knew what was going on. They were surrounded by all kinds of people that knew what was going on, but they, you know, as long as they were getting taken care of themselves, you know, they
well, a lot of them had no power. See, a lot of them had no power.
Yeah.
But you had people that had power that also, how do you say it, engaged with their subordinates
Well,
to do a lot of this. And as a subordinate, you're trying to keep your job.
Yeah. Well, there's auditors and there was
the trustees.
Trustees had to know what was going on, and the thing is, they had a moral and legal responsibility to speak up. And we have whistleblower. We have whistleblower laws that protect you. You know.
Well, they had a fiduciary a responsibility.
Sure.
To the membership.
I wonder legally, why the trustees are not being held accountable.
I wonder the same thing.
Ben, I believe Ghetto Finger was president. Castile drug Ghetto Finger down to Holyfield at the training center and told him way back when Holyfield was alive to end this shit. And he didn't. That's all recorded in the Detroit News and Free Press and the Auto Magazine. But
that's right.
It can't go back to Gary Jones. You got to remember, Gary Jones is the guy that destroyed what we enjoyed as cola and AIF, because when he did that, he destroyed AIF also. He's the one that started the diversion in 90. They brought him on as an accountant, I think, Adrian. And in 92, he did that. So you're right. He knew federal law. But I think what Paul's trying to say here is, like Norwood's attorney said, they thought they were entitled to this shit.
Yeah, that's my point. Because if you're the king, who's to tell you how to spend the money?
Well, that's true.
734, I'd put you on. Anybody else? Anybody else I'm just going to put on if you push your push number
push one on
the keypad. Yeah, go ahead, Adrian.
Push number one on the keypad, please. We would love to have a conversation with you. I'm not being condescending. I would just love to hear what you've got to say about different things. I'm looking at something right now where we have some UAW members that they're skilled trades. They're upset. They work at the Sterling Heights Assembly Plant, and they've been put on an alternative work schedule that involves the ABCD crew, which means that they work 7 days on and 7 days off.
Yep.
And now they're upset. But it was in your contract. You voted on it, so.
734, John.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hey,
everybody.
Hey. Hello. Get Melissa.
Hello. Hi. No, this is Carrie.
Oh, it's Carrie. Hi.
Hi, Adrian. You know what? I wonder to myself now, a lot of the plant chairmen, like my old plant chairman, a lot of them wound up in international. And I mean, my old plant chairman was one of the longest running plant chairmen in history. So, and he also was, you know, back in the 2000s, he was head negotiator. Now, and in my mind, because I know he retired from the plant, but he's still in international. But there's so many of those plant chairmen that are still in there, that are still in international. And now, see, they know about the corruption. I mean, there's no way they couldn't have before, but, I mean, after you read a paper, and they do read the papers, trust me, how are they just sitting by and saying, you know what, we were probably closer than most of these people in the upper echelon of international, the international board, yada, yada, because most of those people didn't spend too much time talking to the floor worker. But the chairman, they did. So why have none of the chairmen of any of these plants said, hold up, why can't we help these members out? And you know, we know better than this. Or, because I think they're just as guilty.
Well, just like we were saying, that the trustees have a fiduciary obligation to the membership, so does the people at International, from the president on down. Any elected official has a responsibility to help the membership out, take care of the membership. Somehow or another, their minds have gotten twisted where their first thought is to take care of the company. And this is just my opinion. They seem to think that if they take care of the company, that the members will have jobs. That is not correct. That's never their function. Their function is not to take care of the company. Their function is to take care of the membership and fight for the best for the membership, not what's best for the companies.
But that is what it's all about anymore.
That's what it's all about, it seems like, for whatever the reason. I don't know if it's money's under the table.
Oh, yeah.
Prestige. There could be any number of things that they believe, like Paul was saying, they believe that they're kings or queens once they get up there to the top and that they possess all this power. And a lot of people can't deal with that. And they go wrong.
I think it has also, like you said, something to do with underhanded. I'm assuming, I'm not making any factual statements here, but I'm sure money gets tossed around.
Something got to get tossed around.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be something that's favorable to them that they would turn their backs on the membership.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yep. I want to ask you, ladies, and Scott, whoever can talk. About these overseas accounts, why don't I hear more about this?
Well, bingo! Bingo!
Well, you know, in recent years, we just started finding out about the little charities that they had.
Right.
You know, the flower fund.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I know about that.
Whatever else, I mean, they all had little names on them. So,
yep.
We
would like to know.
Tell us about that?
I did get an email about these overseas accounts, and I said, well, I'll bring it up. Scott, you brought it up the first time.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I know it was multiple places. In multiple countries, and I know that all the article would say that the GM had private investigators that they hired, and that's what they had come across, and they said it was millions of dollars. It was multiple people involved, of course, at the upper echelon of our union, and it went back quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Names, specific names, but there were others. But nobody would give us dollar amounts specific to each name and which country they were at. It was kind of vague.
They didn't name names at all?
Oh, yeah. Well, they mentioned Dennis Williams. Remember, they mentioned Ron.
They mentioned
Ron Gettelfinger.
Oh,
yes, they mentioned Williams, Gettelfinger, Joe Ashton. They named some names.
Right.
Where was the money coming from?
Us. And people deal that they had made for like the watches that were still owed and the coats that were still owed.
Okay.
Now, why haven't I heard any more about this?
It was money pilfered from the education fund?
Education fund skimmed from the dues, from general funds. Nobody will give us that information. And I think the only one that really has that information would be, I would imagine, would be GM's private investigators. And they turned that over to the Fed. And I'm going, well,
we are the union, right? We are the union. It seems like they owe us an explanation.
Exactly.
The only way to get that information would be for the members to join together, hire their own private investigator along with a forensic accountant.
Yep.
And find out. A forensic accountant will get to the bottom of it. If they will. And that's exactly what GM did.
But you'd have to have some kind of either a court order or an injunction of some kind that would allow that forensic accountant access to those said funds, that information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where they came from. Where they came from, for sure.
Right. Well,
but most you get anything from the FOIA Act.
No.
Their laws are so tight to protect people just in the positions like said names that we're trying to hide. Most people that have overseas accounts like that, they got them because they're trying to hide that money. Right?
Well, basically they don't want the tax implications.
Right.
Or
but
both.
They're also,
or both.
They're both.
And they also don't want to explain how a union official got multi-million dollars in the bank. They don't want to explain
that on their taxes. They can't
claim
that all that big like that. They can't claim that on their taxes.
No.
That's why they found large sums of cash in Gary Jones's house, Dennis Williams' house, you know.
Did they do this investigation to, more or less, for lack of a better word, to blackmail these people? To let them know they had the goods on them when it came into negotiations? What was the purpose of it?
Paul, you get right to the point, don't you? That's perfect.
All right, that's possible.
You damn right that's possible.
I'll give you a really good answer. What happened was General Motors had opened a lawsuit against Fiat Chrysler.
Right.
They named Cindy Estrada and Dennis Williams and the late Sergio Marchionne as co-conspirators to, and we all know this because at that time when they, in 2015, when they brought that contract down, you should have went with General Motors. Instead, you went with the weakest of the big three, which was Chrysler at the time, to try to negotiate a national contract. We all know something's up at that point. So what they did was they brought them down as co-conspirators on this, and a federal judge said, no, you weren't financially burdened by this contract. It didn't hurt you at all. And he threw it out. They appealed. They went back a second time. As far as I know, the judge says no, and it's being kicked around a third time. Going to be a third time. So between the first and second time, General Motors hired some private investigators, and they found this stuff that the federal government didn't find. Wink, wink. Don't tell me the feds didn't see this stuff. Come on now. You had access to everything. You followed the paper trail. Now, you just happen to stumble across a box of Nike shoes, and you open it up, thought it was going to be a brand new pair of Nike shoes, and said there's $30,000 cash in there. That's somebody's stupidity. But I'm just saying that's the thought. But the whole thing is it goes back. and it goes back farther than Williams and Estrada and Marcioni. That's what we're trying to say, because Gettelfinger's name was in there. Remember, he equivocally said, I don't do this, and or nor did my family. Or Sid just got to find somebody who can prove it. And if it's getting paid off, keep your mouth shut. Just
well, the attitude started with Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jokic, you know, back, what was it, in the, let's see, I think it was around 2000 or so, the Justice Department came out and said they were after Jokic and all his top lieutenants. But what happened in the meantime, 9/11 came along and all our federal resources were, you know, we're targeting Homeland Security, but then Jokic passed away, so they couldn't go after him. But Jokic, I think he's the one that came up with the idea that basically you're the king when you're the leader. He led like a king. They used to cut off Yetta's mic, you know, when he'd be at the convention. You know, he did what he wanted to do, and he was one who was quoted as saying, you know, basically you don't tell the membership what's in the contract. You don't let them know.
You got my slug list?
You got to repeat that. Whoever
Jimmy,
that was.
Can you repeat that? Jimmy, you there?
He's still on the switchboard, but his phone bleeped out. But he's still there.
I was not going on.
Jimmy?
There he is.
Yeah, I was on mute. What's up?
Repeat, what did you say something?
No, I was listening to you guys and I heard Chad say something, Jimmy.
Oh, huh.
We thought we heard somebody else.
I mute my microphone most of the time when I'm not talking.
That's what I try to do. But
yeah.
The question, Paul, what was that question again?
Which one? We've been shooting the bull about a lot of stuff. Well, the last thing I said was, you know, this whole thing started with Jokic, the attitude of the UAW leaders, the king. He did what he wanted to do. He didn't let the membership know what was in the contracts, you know, before they voted, you know, so that they could know the whole story. But I was wondering, you know, why General Motors did that investigation on these funds, why they cared.
You say the feds missed it. Yeah, they even if they did, but General Motors knew it was there because they paid it. They just followed their own paper trail, I think.
Yeah, it could have been. They said that the contract financially disadvantaged them.
Auto Workers 714 in the chat room said if the feds don't allow members to vote on the entire International Executive Board members as well as the president, reform could be a waste of time. Things will remain the same.
Correct.
I agree.
And all they're talking about doing is allowing you to vote on the president.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I'm glad you brought up president.
Nepotism.
We have a new assistant regional director in Region 1D.
Nepotism.
That's Dwayne Zuckworth's son.
Yep.
Is it not?
Still transferring to a benefit rep, to a vice president, to president of a local, then regional director, I think was the path he took. His son hired in and went right through the international, loaned out. Yep, he's well qualified.
Wow. Wait, who is it?
Dwayne Zuckworth's son, Scott, was appointed or made assistant regional director to 1D.
Hmm.
That's kind of like what they did with Norwich kids, you know, hire them.
That was
getting
the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, the number one qualification to be an international rep now is that you be related to somebody who's already a rep.
Yeah, well, that's...
You don't have to know anything.
Man.
They'll teach you.
No, you don't have to know anything.
Oh, uh-uh. That's something.
No. If you look at, well, think about this, folks. If you look at Owen Beaver, he had a son and daughter out there. Now he's got a granddaughter, I know for a fact, and I'm told a grandson coming up in a slick five. Oh, man, our nepotism works great in our local. We need to stop it, and if we don't, whoever made the comment, it's never going to change and it's fruitless, is spot on. When is the membership going to say enough? If we can vote for the President of the United States and all our senators, we can damn sure vote for our own union.
Yep. And you know who's going to be your next regional director now, right?
For where?
Sam. For Region 1D.
Oh, of course.
Because
Scott Duckworth.
Because Dawes is no spring chicken. Dawes is no spring chicken, so
he should be almost on his way out.
Don't get Dawes. He's been around forever, Scott.
Yep.
Is there any scuttlebutt about the next person that'll be indicted?
About who?
No.
Are they done with indictments now?
They're kind of quiet.
I wonder what Williams did tell. I wonder what he did tell.
Well, I'm from what I see in his sentencing and what he's getting, he told a lot because he did fair state's evidence to get a lesser sentence.
Yeah.
So
he's squealing on his subordinates then and pointing the finger at them. It's just like they say, there's no honor among thieves.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's look at it this way. They give him 1 to 3. Say 1 to 3. He's got all that money. I want that money.
Right.
I
well,
want him to come out of jail in a year and have millions of dollars. I want the money.
That money and those pensions.
Yeah.
You
all
can only get one pension.
Need to be given back.
You can only
I'm
get one pension.
But every one of them
yeah.
that have any
one.
International pension, they need to give that up and pay back the money. And I'm not talking about some golf club.
They're supposed to give that up. They embezzled.
Didn't they give up
fraud.
A sweaty golf shirt, too?
Yes.
and the golf bongs.
Now, Adrian, I know that's supposed to happen, but
right
after Gary Jones stepped down, didn't Rory Gamble give him the blessing and tell him and that other guy that, no, you can go ahead and go on? In fact, the other one resigned, I believe.
Vance Pierce.
Yeah, he resigned to keep his second pension.
Him and the other guy, too.
Yeah, Gary Jones resigned, too.
Mm-hmm.
But still... you can still go after them legally for those pensions because they had already been under investigation with, I don't know if they were charged yet. That's the key to it. And if they had already been charged, then those pensions should be given up. If they have been found not guilty, then, you know, that would be a different thing. But these people pleaded guilty.
They're here.
So that makes a big difference.
Wonder if there's any way to get back those legal funds.
Well, they're supposed to pay back... a certain amount of their legal fees. Now, you know, everybody's always talking about the legal fees. But what you fail to realize in that is that they have insurance. And so the insurance pays out a certain amount of those legal fees.
And then
but
we
now,
pick up
right.
the rest.
It's the amounts that's above and beyond what the insurance pays that the membership is being forced to pay. That is the money that they should have to be paid. They should have to pay back.
Adrian, if they could not get legal, I mean, if they could not keep doing the things that they do, and we didn't have to pay no legal fees, I think they might stop doing that a little bit. Maybe. I mean, if you get hand caught in the cookie jar and you're not going to have to pay for legal fees, because legal fees are hefty.
Well, their legal fees are hefty because they're going and they're getting the best of the best lawyers, which I don't blame them for that. I mean, I do that too. But still, they have an insurance. And
for
like
that, just for this such thing. And Dennis Williams capped out his maximum on this set of insurance policy. And they capped him out $320,000. They said, that's it. Anything else going forward, you have to pay out of your own pocket.
Right.
$320,000.
But who's paying those insurance premiums? Are they personally insuring them themselves?
No.
Or, I'm just saying. So it's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
We're paying for that.
Right. So we're getting hit up and hit up again.
Well.
But nothing. If you were, let's say, the king, let's just say, and you could do whatever you wanted, play around with people's money, the membership's money, have insurance policies being paid by the membership. You got caught stealing and you're not going to have to pay for attorney. Wow. That's a repeat cycle. That's why they keep, guess what? They're going to get a slap on the hand. Wow, that right there. That's like, why not do it?
Well, that's typical for white collar crime. If some poor person knocks off a liquor store, they go to prison for 20 years or whatever. But if you steal hundreds of millions of dollars, you cut a deal with the feds to tell them how you did it, and then they give you a slap on the hand.
And you're going to get the best attorneys to go up against federal government attorneys, and they're good. Those attorneys for the federal government are good.
Yeah.
They're the creme de la creme. So if you get yourself an excellent attorney paid by the membership and you got a good fund going there, God, what would deter them from doing it? Not a damn thing.
Well, most of those federal people end up going into the private sector. After they cut their teeth and know all the ins and outs, they go work for some law firm for 10 times what they make working for the government.
Correct.
Or they're consultants.
What's that?
Or they're consultants.
Yeah.
Because they've heard every wacky doodle case
of
the white collar criminal world.
Yeah.
So they consult huge companies on what to watch out for.
Right.
Well, they have, you have a lot of cases, and you go through old cases and find where there are similarities. And once you do that, and then you come up with your defense for your client. There may be new laws on the books that weren't in the old cases that, but you, of course, because you have old cases, set a precedence. Anyway, it's there's a lot of involvement in there. There's a lot of time writing up the briefs and all of that.
Well, what's
still.
The first thing that, what's the first thing Rory Gamble did? Almost. He went and got a high-profile attorney.
Okay.
So he wanted to say it was to protect the membership from getting a government takeover, basically. But he could have made changes that the FBI were just simply asking him to do, but he went ahead and went and got an attorney that we're paying for. So what's the gig on that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even want to speculate because there's no charges on this gentleman. So
no,
I won't speculate
no
on that.
No,
I won't
I'm
speculate
not
on that.
Any charges, I'm not insinuating charges on him, but I'm saying what do you need an attorney for if
you always need an attorney. To tell you the truth, you always need an attorney.
Yes. Yes, you do.
You always
start breathing down everybody's neck. You go get an attorney right now.
Right quick. Right
yeah.
quick.
Yeah. I understood that.
Ashton was one of the first ones when this broke out with Norwood Jewel and stuff. If you remember right, Ashton was one of the first ones to go get one of the highest profile lawyers out of New York City for such thing.
Right.
Ashton was. He hadn't even been charged. They had been looking at him. And
mm-hmm.
he knew it. And he was getting himself prepared.
Because mm-hmm.
he knew what was coming.
You know, something hard. Always slipped through the cracks. You know,
yeah.
somebody always... come and tell you, no, hey, they might be looking at this or that.
Mm-hmm.
So you always get a little alert.
Right.
So,
and
like,
yeah,
go
and
ahead,
what?
Pat.
And what? She was talking about is why would you need a lawyer if you don't? You know, I agree with you. You always need a lawyer. In that position, you always want to have a lawyer on call. Well,
mm-hmm.
the UAW has a legal staff,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that they I don't know if they can handle this because it would be at that point it seems like it'd be a conflict of interest because you're not their personal lawyers, you're our lawyers for the UAW. So that's kind of a you know they can't I don't think they can legally represent said leadership that's found guilty or something because. It's our money, and you're our legal team. They use that legal team against us on every contract. That's neither here nor there. But the point of is with the people who are being charged, people who are not being charged, every one of them is being investigated.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. Now, like Adrian says, nothing's come forward yet.
Mm-hmm.
Rory early on said, you know, he put a note out there saying that he did not do anything wrong and blah, blah, blah. And then it wasn't 3 weeks later, they're investigating him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and to put the icing on the cake, what made Barbie look deeper into the things that was already, the dust that already settled was when they pushed Articles 8 and 31 themselves, and when they did that and they brought these charges against the other ex-UAW officials, they put information in there that the federal government did not know about.
Correct.
And they said, we wish they would have been more forthright with us, and we find out because of this, now we got to come back look at the thing all over again. It just, you can't write a story like this. You know what I mean?
Well, the feds
are
in a quagmire right now.
Yeah,
they're
they
trying
are.
To find somebody clean to run the UAW, and they can't find anybody. Because they're all either involved in it or watching it happen while they collected their fat paychecks.
Right.
And then the members on the outside, the ones that probably could step up, they're so divisive with each other.
Yeah.
They won't come together. They're all trying to, I don't know, it looks like it's a grab for some people to try to get that top spot. And this is why I came, you know, I said what I said. I don't mean any harm to anyone. But if you are not a full-time employee, you should hold no elected position.
Yeah.
See, because you can be compromised quickly because you don't
possess everything.
Excuse me?
Why they took the vote away from retiree, Adrian. They don't want us there because, like they said, you just said, we can go the other way, but they also know we've been around the block. They don't want a lot of our now young people.
I remember like going to a retiree meeting, and I was never so pissed as to when our president stood before the retiree meeting and told us, don't believe all that you are hearing and reading in the paper about our union, our leaders. It's not true. Oh, boy, I went to sweating. Oh, my God. It was like, you got to be out of your damn mind. These people pleaded guilty. How are you going to stand up there and tell us don't believe it? How stupid. But look, this is
somebody
part
sounds like
of,
somebody was heavy on the sauce.
Oh, no, this is part of the way that the administration caucus works. They have
right.
All of these retirees. They have them under their thumb. They believe in them. They trust them. Because, you know, I said something else to you one day. I told you all, first thing they'll tell you, the UAW has been good to me.
Right.
And so they equate that with the representatives.
Well, these people.
And,
oh, go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead, Paul.
Well, I was going to say, these people came up in a time when you could trust the reunion. Because before the age of jointness, they would never think of bargaining a crappy contract. They just wouldn't do it. But the thing is, what these people won't look at is the UAW was good to them. But the UAW has been helping management screw their kids and grandkids.
And that's what I say. That's what I say to retirees that I talk to.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, the UAW was good to a lot of people, but it also wasn't good to a whole bunch, too.
Because, see,
I can go back through history because of my family and tell you some things.
Right.
But I also looked at from the time that I went in and what I was seeing with my own eyes, and it was like, these people ain't right. And so, you know, I would just say little things to the seniority people. Matter of fact, the seniority people that I work with, it was funny to them that I only had 2 years in the plant. Because I knew just as much, if not more, of stuff than they did. And they couldn't understand that. But,
right.
You know, I tried to explain to them. My family worked there all over.
Right.
And so this was common.
Yeah.
This was common talk with our family. But it's not common with everybody. So what you try to do is show them, give them something that is not in their favor that they can look at.
Right.
And then the ones, like, I was still working and they were retired, and I was saying, well, they was good to your ass, but you don't see what they doing now?
Yeah.
They messing up everybody in there now. And I would start telling them things that was going on, and they were, like, shocked.
Yeah.
Well, the Solidarity Sunday meeting was to try to get people to come and educate those that were junior to us.
Right.
And so some of the retirees would come, and other retirees would start telling them the things that was going on, and they were like, damn, I didn't know all of this.
Yeah.
But knowing about it and doing something about it is two different things.
And that's the thing right there.
But they...
We got two groups. Go ahead, Carrie.
Not all, like, what I'm seeing is, like, you, if you do engage with some of the lower paid workers, I hate the word tier, I hate all that. It, when they did that full blown, they put the nail in the coffin for those people out on the floor. They divided us so bad. It's such a shame. So, now they'll come to you when they'll come to a legacy worker when they've been done wrong, and you'll tell them what to do, or you'll give them a number. But other than that, they don't really want too much to do because there is a pay difference there.
Right.
And that means a lot to them, and I can understand that.
Yeah, I understand that.
I mean, it's a very awkward situation. And, I mean, I've learned to like a lot of them. I look at them like I, you know, like anybody else. But does it eats my craw up that I know they're doing the same work as I am and they're not getting paid right? I do not think that's right. I don't agree with that.
I'm going to say this about that.
A horrible point.
Yeah, but see, you've been in this job X amount of years, and you make this kind of money. They've just come there. They can't just come there and jump right to the top. Everyone has to earn what they make. I thought that, because when I was hired, it was a tier system. Whether anybody knows that that was a tier system, I came in 1996. We came in at 70% of the pay. It took us 3 years to get to the top. That is the way, if you're going to do a tier system, that's the way it should go.
I agree.
That was,
a tier system. That's fair.
That was called, and I did in 85 when I hired in, it was 85, or it was 18 months.
Okay.
You get the full pay scale. And like
right.
you said, you start out at a certain amount, and then in 18 months, if you're still there, you're there. Now, when John worked there.
Addie, tell him about Rico.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what we had was we had a temp that was a temp for like 7 years. He left on Friday. He was making a full pay scale at the time. I think it was $28.
Mm-hmm.
He left on a Friday. He came back on Monday, and he was making $16 and some change. Because they put him into the system. Yeah, you know, you're tier two. You got to start all over again.
Congratulations, you're hired.
Yeah.
What year was that?
You start all over. Ooh,
what year was that?
Been, oh, that's before you retired, Don, so it had to have been, what, 8-9 years ago?
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I mean,
but you know the progression that you're talking about though, with that progression, that was only money, because they still back then got a pension, had the same medical, all the other benefits were the same, just it just was the pay.
Yes.
Now
right.
it's worse because they don't have the pensions, and well they did make the medical the same this time around in this contract, but last contract, the medical wasn't the same.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So, I understand what you're saying about, you know, it's okay to have a grow-in period, you know, just to make sure that, you know, I understand the thought that you don't want to pay somebody full pay because you never know if they're going to work out or not.
Right. I get it.
And then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't give full pay when we hired Ann either. It took us 90 days.
That's not unreasonable, right?
No. But you should get the pay. You should get the benefits also.
But it shouldn't take.
It
also shouldn't take 8 years.
No,
correct.
It should not.
You know?
Well, to me,
personally, I don't think it should take more than 18 months because I don't care what
mm-hmm.
job you work, it doesn't take you 18 months to master the jobs in your department or area. You know?
I did want
to go back.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Paul.
I was just saying, when I hired in, I was putting 6 bolts a minute in a pickup truck, and how many months does it take to master that?
Right.
They gave you a three-day weekend, and that was it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
About 1,000 trucks, and you're a professional at that.
Right. And it doesn't take long to know whether somebody can cut the rigid life of working in a plant. It is
right.
A miserable life. It's crappy working conditions, but, you know, most of us was hired in, say, in the late 70s. We stayed because the pay was good. But they had to improve this contract because it's getting to the point where you can make about as much in McDonald's as you can working as entry-level auto worker. So they had to make some changes.
More.
I know lower-paid workers that are actually working 2 jobs.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
working at the companies, and then they're working a side gig.
Yeah.
Right.
Hobby Lobby is going to pay $17 an hour to full-time employees.
I saw that.
And that's a heck of a lot better working than you have in a plant. At least when you have to piss, you don't have to wait 3 hours.
Right.
That's true.
I can't speak on that because I worked on a free effort job. And see, that's another thing. I mean, you know, if you work in assembly, it's a lot different than when you work in powertrain.
It's rigid.
So, and I did work in assembly one day, but you know, one day told me a lot about there, but. It didn't tell me all that I needed to know in one day. But,
wasn't what you wanted.
I know it's grueling.
You know, Adrian,
to,
I want
to
go
to
back
be
to
in assembly.
You said.
And I would think that if you work in assembly, I feel you should be paid more because the labor is much harder.
Intense than
in a powertrain plant.
Yeah.
Now, but that's just, you know.
Somebody's trying to get in.
They will tell you that, well, you know, the skill sets are totally different.
Right.
Right. Somebody's trying to get in, guys. I can't.
So this is why this is this way and what have you.
Yeah.
But. I really think that they need to get rid of this tier system. You can't have a tier system where it takes you 8 years to become a new legacy. That's what it is a new legacy because you don't get a pension and you don't get health care when you retire.
Yeah, that's crap there.
And 8 years, that's 2 contracts. Well, things change from contract to contract.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, look at our
so you
look
can
at our area hire now.
Believe, you know, just cancel out things that you said in this last contract.
Right. I mean, when I hired in, if I got laid off from a Flint plant, they could ship me to Saginaw or, you know, another Flint plant. Now you're a higher what? Is the whole country? Pretty much. If they lay you off, they can force you to go to Texas or Missouri. That's not what people signed on for to work in a plant.
No.
They've changed the rules against people. I think it's real crap that there's no health care on retirement. What they're doing is setting up what they have is a hostile work environment, which is going to give people ulcers, carpal tunnel, tendonitis, bad knees, bad back. Mm-hmm. And after they've worked the crap out of you for 40 years and ruined your health, so they're going to trash out on retirement and you get to pay for your own health care.
Well, they figure that you will have Medicare.
Yeah.
So that's part of, what you were talking about earlier about the joint programs and the selling out. I was, thinking about what Adrian said, that, how they possibly thought as union representatives that in going along with the company would help save jobs. But, we have a recent modern day example that proves that isn't true, because when sellout Cindy was still the vice president of General Motors, she sold out those jobs at Lordstown to save the jobs, yet General Motors closed that plant.
That's right.
They sold them out, and the company still closed the plant anyway. So they didn't save jobs. If the company can find a way to screw us, they will.
Well, they know it's not going to work. Back when Reagan was president, we had the Reaganomics, the trickle-down economics where, tax cuts to businesses would create jobs. The union rebuffed that idea, but they've gone along with the idea if they help the company will throw us a bone. And we've had 30 years of experience with that. It should be long enough to tell them it's a total failure.
But the company did throw them a bone. The company threw them a bone.
Oh yeah,
not the membership.
But
the membership.
The architects of jointness were not woefully corrupt like the bunch now. Back when they dreamed up jointness, it was right after the Arab oil embargo, and General Motors was really failing. I mean, they were in a mess, Ford, Chrysler, and General Motors, and it made some sense back then that, hey, we got to help the company, but do we need to help the company when the company's making billions of dollars in profits?
And now we helped them with concessions. They said they were going to give us our concessions back, and we didn't get
them.
They
did. Overseas account, son. They put it in overseas for us.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
They never fought to get anything back. Once they gave it away, they just gave up on the idea. Look at the jobs bank. They used the jobs bank for years to get rid of jobs. And then they gave it up, and now they're just axing jobs left and right. Somebody in the international needs to look at where we're being taken. We had hundreds of thousands of jobs in the in the late 70s, and now we got less than 50,000. Where's it all going to end? General Motors doesn't even want to make anything. We got into this old ball of wax to save the company, to save jobs, and there are no jobs.
Right.
Well, I definitely don't think Rory Gamble is definitely not the man that I think is going to take us there. I still believe that the guy's corrupt. We'll find out within the next 30 days or so, because it's been 3 weeks since the appeal at my local has gone up, and there's still no reply to it after 3 weeks. So,
which appeal is that?
There was an appeal that went to the membership for a vote to redo our local election.
Oh, okay.
You're at Flint.
What region are you out of?
What region?
Yeah.
1A.
Oh, 1A?
Okay.
Good luck with that. Good luck.
What
with
was
that.
Your rationale for redoing the election?
There were actually three appeals that were
combined
together with it.
Okay.
One was the failure to notify all candidates about mailing. So all the election rules were not communicated. That was one. There was the other one was
you couldn't pass out any literature.
What was considered a UAW page. There was some slander of a candidate, and they weren't allowed to post their flyers on the site while other candidates were.
Okay.
And then there was I can't remember what the third one was, but all three of them passed by the membership. And so it's been sent up, and we're waiting to hear if they're going to uphold that or they're going to go against the membership and say that the election stands. So.
Did they allow campaigning during that election?
Yes.
Okay. And when was that election?
August 25th.
Okay.
And September 1st.
Okay. Mine
was
June 25th, and they allowed no campaigning on the plants or at the Union Hall.
Right.
And we're an amalgamated local. It had like, you know, we had 10 balloting areas.
We're an amalgamated local, too, yeah. And, well, I don't know about some of the other plants. But I do know that at our plant there was campaigning that was allowed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's how you tell whether they uphold it or not. Did the right people win?
No, the cronies won.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. From
the
international standpoint, the right people won, so...
Oh, right, yeah, right.
You
exactly.
know, good luck. This is the kind of crap that we need to get to the feds, because, you know, they, to a certain extent, want to clean up the UAW. So how can you clean up the UAW if you can't even have an honest local election?
Exactly. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
And so how do we think that that even if the feds say one member, one vote for the president, that that's going to be legal?
Yeah.
That that's going to be done, you know, in an honest way?
Yeah.
Right.
It's just a giant circle.
Well, that's why they really need to hear from members like us, because, you know, obviously they've gone through all this trouble, but, you know, I think they're groping for answers right now.
Huh.
They don't want to go through all this mess and then 10 years from now have to do it again. You know, like when they were done with the Teamsters, they were done with the Teamsters.
But I believe that if the feds really wanted to have talk to members, they would put out a telephone number, email address,
sure.
For you to send stuff to them, and
right.
they would look it over. I feel that the feds, they're kind of coddling what's already there. They want to get their hooks in there.
Yeah.
But they don't really want it to really get cleaned up. That's the way the feds are making me feel.
Yeah.
And then you have this one judge. Everything
well,
is taken before Bowman all the time. And Bowman is always on the side of the UAW. And, you know.
The feds are still a part of the government. And you were in the military, and
mm-hmm.
just like me. And you know, they do enough to put on a good show to make the people get a warm fuzzy. And they do just enough, and then what happens? They don't completely finish the job.
Right.
You know.
And
it's
not just being in the military.
They're just putting on a good show.
I worked for the government, okay, because I used to work, I worked for the VA hospital.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Boy,
I forgot about that, yep.
Yeah, so, you know, I've seen them in action. How they do things. It's just, oh, it's hurtful. It's more than hurtful. I can't even put a name to it that here these people, all of them at our top people, have come up from the bottom. With the exception of this nepotism that's been going on for a number of years. But for the most part, all of those people at the top came from the bottom. And to see that you won't take, what is that? You are your brother's keeper?
Yep, yep.
For as many times as I heard that, the first thing, every time I would hear it, I want to tell them, kiss my ass. Because you don't believe in that.
You want
no,
you
don't believe in it. You know, I believe in it, but you don't.
Well, you know, I think part of it is some of these people have been there so long, they don't even realize how drastic the changes are in the workplace. I mean, we got people up there in the International Union that they moved up there when you could still double up on jobs on the assembly line. They don't understand that there's a lot of people struggling to keep up with their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. 219.
Yep.
219.
But, yeah, even though they might not be aware, they don't care because they don't even bother to take the time to investigate and find out and actually communicate with the people on the line. They're up there. They're above us. That's all that matters to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. 219, you wanted to say something, I think? You had your little finger.
Yeah. Hi, brothers and sisters.
Hello.
Hey.
How's everybody doing?
Very good.
We're
hanging
in here.
So I wanted to ask about the election that was the membership overturned. Have you followed up with the Department of Labor as well?
Well, you got to follow that would be the next step. But you got to follow the chain first. Otherwise, the Department of Labor won't even consider looking at your appeal until there is a time frame
that a window of opportunity for the Department of Labor to get involved before it reaches the conclusion. If they haven't made a decision yet, and I believe it's after 30 days, you can submit your appeal to the Department of Labor. There's a window of between 30 and 90 days.
Right, you are correct.
You have to, like when I went down and to the National Labor Review Board, you have to first exhaust all internal proceedings first.
No, you don't.
You don't?
You have to pursue internal proceedings, but if they're dragging their feet, you can pursue the Department of Labor through the Office
prior
of Labor Management Standards, and that's why that window is in there.
Right, you're absolutely
prevent them
correct.
From dragging their feet.
Yep.
Right.
100% correct.
Hey, I know. I got an election turned over overturned last year.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen,
that.
It's been another great Sunday night. I got to sign off, spend some time with my wife. I'll catch you next Sunday. Thanks for a good conversation.
It was good to hear from you, Paul.
Yeah. Good night, Paul.
Paul.
Good night, Paul.
Good night, Paul.
We got
night,
about
John.
4 minutes
Bye.
Left. We got about 4 minutes left of the show anyway, so we're on a wind down now. Somebody went over, I guess, last night. I ain't gonna say who, but you know.
Was Adrian talking about her balls?
That's okay.
We'll leave it at
that. It was a good discussion. Good discussion. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is a serious question I ask anybody who's still listening. Who would we talk to find out that amount of money that these criminals have gotten these offshore accounts? Somebody's got to have that information.
Yeah, they do. You know, we heard about it. I don't hear about it at all anymore. Bring it,
no,
boy. I like, one from the great state of California.
Send a formal request in to the Secretary of Treasury.
Hey, Don, every
yes.
time that they bring, any time that in my almost 50 years of living, anytime they bring up offshore accounts and money hidden, tax shelters and all that, those stories never seem to last long in the media.
No.
Those seem to go away real, real quick because there's all kinds of people involved in that have vested interest in those stories not staying in the public eye.
Good point. Good point, JJ. Good point.
Right.
Hold on. Auto workers,
involved in it.
Excuse me. Auto workers said that this panel needs to contact Matthew Snyder's office with their input at 313-226-9100. 313-226-9100. There you go.
That's
Matt.
Awesome. And now who is... Now, is it
FBI.
Snyder?
Matthew
That's
Snyder's FBI.
Isn't he the lead prosecutor on this case? I think.
I think he's an investigator.
He's the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Right.
He's a press. Okay.
That's what.
So it'd be somebody we want to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But said,
you're probably not going to be able to talk to him, but you might be able to talk to some of the assistant U.S. attorneys.
Right.
Sure.
Of assistants that actually do most of the work. And then he puts out statements.
Right, but are they going? Will they be willing to talk to you at all? Because they kind of got made look stupid because private investigators for a company found hidden money.
So we got
you
about
know what
60
mean?
Seconds. That's what the lady's headphones.
All righty. Well, we'll say goodnight to everybody. That number again for Matthew Snyder is area code 313-226-9100.
Yeah, I think I'll see what I can find out tomorrow.
Okay, good idea.
I think everybody
we appreciate that, auto worker.
Maybe we can put a little bit of pressure on them. Give
yeah,
us some
to
information.
Find out what's going on.
I'd like to know about that money. All of a sudden, nobody talks about it.
No. I know I called that number about a month and a half ago and asked for him, and I'm not deterring anybody for calling that number, but they referred me to a gentleman named Frank, I think Schneider it was. Don't quote me on the first name. No relation to Matthew. But they said that he was handling that too. And I spoke to a secretary, but no one ever called me back. But don't not call. Don't not call.
Right.
So some,
maybe the more calls they get.
Yeah.
Maybe the more calls they get there.
The right. Yep.
Yeah.
Call.
Yeah.
Call.
Yeah. More calls they get, maybe we get some information.
You know, they might, you never know. They'll pick a number out at random and call.
Maybe.
Right.
Don't not call. Call. Call.
Good idea. All right,
everybody.
Well, that being said,
everybody have a good week.
Be safe.
Yes.
And keep your head low.
Adrian, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Eastern Standard.
9 o'clock. I'll beat it.
All right. Everybody can join the same phone number. Just give us a call tomorrow night. So we'll talk to everybody next Sunday night. And be careful, be safe. Don't hurt yourself working. Thank you all.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.